Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Greetings. Welcome, everyone, to our Thanksgiving program. And we can't think of a better way to celebrate or think about Thanksgiving than to dedicate this show to the Marian House. I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar in some way with the Marian House, but you're going to become much more familiar as a result of this program. And we have with us three guests right now. Mr. Sam Edwards, who actually works at the Marian House. He's vice president of the Poverty Reduction Program. And so Sam will be able to fill us in on all sorts of details about what goes on at the Marian House. And we have two wonderful volunteers who work at the soup kitchen, which is located at the Marian House. Paul Granato, who is a member of Holy Apostles Parish here in Colorado Springs, and Joe Donnelly, a parishioner at Divine Redeemer. So welcome to all of you. Paul and Joe, you're both volunteers at the soup kitchen, right? And that's a very, very important part of the Marian House, which serves, I think, Sam, correct me, is it more than 600 meals a day?
We're above 600 on average right now. Not far above, but
so yes. It's over 600 hot, nourishing meals a day to those who are in need of that. Some homeless, but many among those who are poor, and this meal helps them to maintain themselves in some way. We call them sometimes the working poor, but over 600 meals a day. That's tremendous. And you two help cook and serve, is that it?
Definitely.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
I'm in my fifth year right now.
This is Paul. You've been doing it, you're in the fifth year. Are you the cook? Or a cook?
A cook. Joe leaves most of the seasonings and everything to me, and I generally put together the meals that we're going to cook, and then we make sure we have enough food to make it.
Do you determine the menu?
Pretty much.
I've eaten there more than a few times, and it's not bad.
Hopefully on Mondays.
You know, I can't remember. I'm sure it's been a variety of days, but whatever days it's been, it's been good food.
Well, good. Come on Mondays, we cook the best Italian food going.
Very good. No, I must have been there on Monday because I've had Italian food there.
Yeah,
we should remind our listeners too that that the cooks and those who help serve the food, all of that is volunteer. Those are all volunteers.
Yes, they are.
How many volunteers? Well, you two, I think, work primarily on Mondays, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And you are two of about how many volunteers on a Monday, would you say, are there?
Probably about 20. It varies. You know, some days you'll have 35 people there. Other days, the lowest, I think, has probably been around 20. But everybody that comes in there, the regulars, they know exactly what they're supposed to do, so it's not like you have to ride herd over them because they all know what they're supposed to do. And one weekend, we had 714 people come in there to eat.
On a weekend or one day?
It was one day. It was on a Monday.
That's a record.
Yeah, it is. As far as I know, it still is.
Yeah, we're not. I'm very proud of the work that you do, but I guess we shouldn't be too proud of the fact that the numbers of poor seem to be rising. Of course, our new facility has made it possible to serve a lot more people, especially in the dining area. Paul is the cook. Joe, what do you do?
I make sure he cooks. No, I open up in the morning, and Paul and I sit down, and we give them the menu, what we want for the month, and then they tell us, you know, we can have this, that, or the other thing, and then we go out sometimes and buy some things ourselves, condiments mostly that we need. But I cook. I'm right there with the other four guys, or the other three guys. Mm-hmm. And they make sure that I do what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a all-around supervisor type thing. But I have to give credit to Paul. He is the chef.
Thank you.
Very good. For those who may not be all that familiar with the Marion House, maybe just a little background and chronology would be helpful. The Marion House has had sort of a couple of incarnations over the years. It started in 1968, I think, as just an outreach of St. Mary's Parish. Back then, we were not even a diocese. It was St. Mary's Parish. We were part of the Archdiocese of Denver. And the Marion House, the name coming from St. Mary's Parish, now the cathedral, was begun. And, of course, compared to today, I guess, a rather modest effort, but an excellent effort at the same time. And then in time, Sam, you may know this, did it begin originally in what was the old convent, or did it move to the convent?
No, it started in church basements and kind of worked its way, and as it outgrew church basements, it moved to a larger church and so on, and eventually ended up...
So was it a number of churches, not just St. Mary's?
I understand there were three.
Oh, okay.
Before it ever turned out at the Marion House.
Okay, and then in time, when the sisters left the parish, their rather tumble-down convent became... both the soup kitchen as well as whatever other services were available. And so I know that shortly after I arrived in the diocese, and perhaps it was going on before that, there was talk of the need of at least renovating that building. And finally what was decided is let's take it down. There wasn't much worth preserving. So we took it down, and in 2008, the new soup kitchen, the new kitchen and dining area opened, and then a year later, in 2009, the new wing dedicated to Bishop Hannafin, the first bishop of the diocese, and that contains all the other services. Sam, talk a little bit more about that so people are very aware of all, I mean, I have sitting right here a list. If you can't remember, there it is. A list of all of the ministries, the works that are done at the Marion House. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
I know that in 1994, when Catholic Charities took over the Marion House Soup Kitchen, it was in November of 1994, we took over just the soup kitchen at that point, and it evolved. And what we saw was a growing need for information and referrals and an extension of services that weren't necessarily coordinated there on site. So as the agency got involved more, we looked at where we can bring in more staff and more volunteers to provide these necessary services. Eventually, it grew into what has now become the service arm of the programming in the Poverty Reduction Department. We have, of course, the Marion House Soup Kitchen program, but then in the Hannafin Center, we have the Community Outreach programs, and that's headed by James Dixon. We have the Client Services program, and that's headed by Eric Evans. And then in addition to that, we have the Life Support Family Program that's headed by Carol McConnellock. Those are all housed in the new Hannafin Self-Sufficiency Center. But in addition to that, we have enough space upstairs to house partner agencies as well that go beyond the scope of our programs and reach to serve the barriers of the clientele that we are here to serve.
I know that the property there was, which is just across Bijou, behind St. Mary's Cathedral, where the old convent sat. That property owned by the diocese, we ceded to Catholic Charities for this work. But it was really the generosity of many, many people and their significant donations that allowed that building to be built, both the soup kitchen and the Hannafin Center. I more than once spoke about how proud I am. That is really a gem. in the diocese. And at the beginning of the program, I said this is our Thanksgiving program because we're, you know, it's Thanksgiving Day time. But I thought it was very appropriate that we talk a bit about something like the Marian Center, because I don't know of a better way really to express thanks than to share the blessings that God has given us with others. It's easy to say thank you, but when I see those volunteers like we have here today, who are there 365 days, somebody will be there providing meals on Thanksgiving Day, as they will be on Christmas Day and every other day of the year, because hunger doesn't take a holiday. And I think that is so edifying that people are willing to give of their time like that to help those that are in need. The food that is served at the Marian House, that's pretty much all donated, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, a lot of it is through Care and Share, and then of course we have people that donate money that the Marian House uses to buy food and that. And I would put our food up against just about any restaurant in town as far as how good it tastes.
And I agree. I've looked in those freezers before, and I've seen what's in there. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, we take pride in what we do there, and it's really satisfying to when you can see people come through the line. What's really sad is the little kids that you see, and I think that's probably because of the economy. That how happy they are. I bring in toys that people have given me, stuffed animals, for the kids. And just to see that little smile on their face, I mean, it makes it all worthwhile.
So it's not just single poor people, single homeless people. You get families in there,
mothers
with children.
Yes.
Yeah. And what a wonderful thing it is that you can help them. I often think that you know, as people enter downtown Colorado Springs, when they come over that that new Bijou Street bridge, and then they, right there is our cathedral, St. Mary's, also fairly newly renovated, and then right across the street, the brand new Marian House. Not only are these buildings physically beautiful, they give a very wonderful visual welcome to the city. I think for those who know what they are, it certainly says something about what we're about as Catholics and as Christians, because many of the volunteers are not Catholics. They come from other Christian churches. Any non-Christian volunteers that you know of?
Sure there are, but yeah. Sometimes we'll talk about religion in different ways, and somebody that's having a cup of coffee with us will say, yeah, we do this, that, and the other thing. But it makes you feel proud, at least it does me, to have these guys that I have working down there with me. You know, the kind of work that we do and how we take pains to make sure we do it right. Such as if you go from, say, chicken to beef, you have to change your rubber gloves. You know, so we make sure that that's done, that anyone volunteers down there, you know, if we tell you to change your gloves, that's the reason for it. You know, so I feel good when I leave there.
Well, you may be volunteers, but you work like pros, it sounds like.
Well, we try anyway. At least I think we do.
Well, and I think you do too. We're going to take a short break and then come back and maybe we can have our two volunteers here share some of their experiences and their thoughts about maybe how they've grown in their own faith and appreciation for God's gifts because of their volunteering at the Marian House when we come back.
In 2006, the Colorado Catholic Herald was voted the nation's number one diocesan newspaper in its class. The Herald offers a wide variety of stories on the local, national, and world level, as well as your letters and the best columns in the Catholic press. The Colorado Catholic Herald is a newspaper you can be proud of. If you are registered with a parish in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, you should be receiving the Herald. If not, please call us at 719-866-6492. That's 719-866-6492. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. We're talking about one of the great treasures of the Diocese of Colorado Springs, and that is the Marian House, which is located right behind St. Mary's Cathedral on Bijou Street. For those of you who come into the city across the bridge there, you look to the right, you see the cathedral, and to the left, the beautiful new Marian House, which consists really of two parts, a dining room, which serves in excess of 600 meals a day to those in need. And I think we were talking, was it at the break, is a new record? No, we talked about that in the first segment, somebody was saying over 714 in one day. So the numbers are rising. We're happy that we can do it. We hate to see what seems to be like more and more people in need, but if that's the way it is, then the Marian House is there to help. And the Marian House is there because of the donations of so many individuals and food suppliers, grocery stores, hotels, other places that very generously give good food, not stuff out of the trash can, good food that's left over and would otherwise be discarded. They send to the Marian House, and that provides some great meals for those who eat there. In the first segment, I don't think I finished this thought, but it to me it's significant to see the cathedral, our church, our mother church there, and right next to it, across the street from it, the Marian House, because I think it represents really what we're about as Catholics and as Christians. Here we have the place where we worship, where we give thanks to God, where we're sustained in our spiritual journey with the body and blood of Christ at Mass, where we pray. But as I think every Catholic knows, Christians know, that prayer, that sustenance that we receive at church is what empowers us then to go and live our Christian lives in the midst of the world. And that means doing as Jesus did, meeting the poor, those in need, and doing what we can to help them in their need. And that's why I'm so proud of the work, of course, of Catholic Charities overall, which kind of oversees the work of the Marian House, but of the Marian House in particular. Our guests today are Sam Edwards, who is Vice President of the Poverty Reduction Department at the Marian House, and Paul Granato and Joe Donnelly, who are volunteers for some years now at the soup kitchen at the dining hall, which prepares those wonderful meals. And I've attested to how good they are because I've eaten there a few times myself. Paul and Joe, as volunteers for more than a few years now, can you share any particularly poignant moments, memorable incidents that have stayed with you because of your wonderful volunteer work there?
I think the main one that I can remember is there's one guy, I have no idea what his name is, but he's usually there every Monday. And he'll stand in the doorway and he'll get your attention and say, "Hey, thank you guys very much. You really outdid yourselves today." And when you, just that one guy just makes everything worthwhile. When you see these people come through and, you know, of course you'll always have somebody that doesn't particularly care for the meal you got that day, but they'll take something, whether it's a salad or the main dish or whatever. But have that one guy, we kind of look forward to him now. You kind of wave at him, you know, "How you doing?" stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think a lot more people today are thanking us for the food than they have before. I know, especially our soups. They say that's the best soup we've had in a long time, and we make that from scratch every Monday. And
does either of you or both of you have any contact with the families that come in with the kids at all?
I think that's a little tougher for us because they're in that back room there, and we're constantly in the kitchen making sure that we get the food out there so the line keeps moving and they get their fill. So we don't really get too involved with the families per se.
Once in a while, when I happen to walk back there, I'll see some little kid with a plate full of food there, and I'll stop and talk to him, and I'll say something like, "Are you going to eat all of that? You know, can I have some of it?" You know, and they kind of look up at you, and first sometimes they think you're weird, and other times they'll just look at you and smile. Yeah. And when you see that smile, you just melt. At least I do. So I really enjoy going in there and just looking around, see who's there.
So that's reward enough. It is.
I wouldn't trade my Mondays for anything. So if you want to hire me and pay me, I won't go. I'll be in the soup kitchen.
Yeah, I think we both look forward to Mondays. I just can't wait to go in there and see what we have to create that day for serving that many people.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier that really, although the Marian House is a work of Catholic Charities, the volunteers that come there come from any number of places. What are I don't want to leave anybody out. We probably will. But what are some of the other groups or churches that give us volunteers also? Sam?
Well, we have volunteers that come from just about every denomination. A special thank you to a number of churches. First Presbyterian has been coming for more than 20 years and been paying for most of the food that is served on those Tuesdays.
So they bring, they provide the food that they serve on that day.
They do indeed.
Wow. So that comes really from the donations, I guess, of all of their parishioners or most of them.
That's true. It actually comes directly from the church. They have a budget set aside to purchase the main course for the day. And they do an alternative route where they don't serve soup typically on Tuesdays. We've tried, we've worked at them, and they just won't give. They said, "No, we want to do something special. We want to provide a special meal for them." And whether they make spaghetti and meatballs from scratch or whether they end up doing a rice dish, it's always from the start. They pay for every piece of it. And then, obviously, we have the salad and the breads and the other items that we give from what's been donated as well. There are other churches that come in, too, and I just can't come up with a list in my head right now. I apologize, but
Sunrise Baptist is one of them.
Sunrise Baptist. Mm-hmm. There's a Methodist church. There's a number of Methodist churches that come in and help out quite a bit. And there are small groups from other churches that come and don't really take credit. They just, mm-hmm. they're kind of the unsung heroes. They're there, they know their niche, they know what they're in charge of, and they take control of that. On top of that, we have, the Ford Credit Company sends down employees every week, and they have just been fun as can be to work with. And then we have other people that are not affiliated with the church that come down too, and like Joe and Paul said, this is a special part of their week.
During the break, Sam, you were telling me about Fort Carson. Fort Carson participates, right? And they're going to be a particular help on Thanksgiving.
They are going to do all of the cooking, and they don't cook on site, so they cook everything at Fort Carson. They then deliver it. And it's fun to see the men and women in uniform delivering this, and this is something that they feel they're a part of something very special, and they do both the Thanksgiving and the Christmas meal, and what an honor it is to have our men and women of the military in to serve us.
We also have people from Peterson Air Force Base, Shriver Air Force Base, even the cadets up at the academy. They come down, and it's kind of weird for me. I'm retired military, and for me to tell some colonel to do something, and he does it. In a nice way, I tell him.
We usually put them on the pots and pans, though.
You know, we actually have we have a retired general that comes and runs the kitchens, or helps run the kitchen every Thursday. And you guys brag about your soup, but I think you may have a little competition there, too.
Maybe we should have a cook-off.
I see one in the future.
You know, Paul and Joe, well, Sam, too, I guess, your work at the Marion House, certainly, while having it, it's sort of human rewards, as you said, seeing those smiles, receiving the thank yous from people, but besides that, I'm guessing that this has helped you to deepen your own faith and your own sense of gratitude. Say a little something about that.
I like to stand behind the servers sometimes, and especially the young kids. I'll tell them, you know, whatever you don't give away, you have to eat. You know, and they just kind of turn around and look at you. And I tell them, you know, I'm joking and everything like that. But it, to me, to see these people come in and be served and knowing that I had a hand in it, it just makes me feel good. You know, and this is why I look forward to the next Monday. You know, I volunteer at other places during the week, so, but if I could, I'd probably be there every day. I work at, or I volunteer at Memorial Hospital 2 days a week also. In the outpatient surgery section, it's like 10 nurses having 10 wives telling you what to do. I enjoy it, though, and they do, too.
Paul, any reflections on your part about
how? Well, it's very gratifying, actually. It is. I try to talk to some of the people and ask them, well, how was the food today? And if I get a good comment, it makes me feel real good. I, like Joe, I volunteer at Holy Apostles as well and do a lot of the cooking for their functions that they have. And as you know, I've done, when you've had the meetings for the deanery, I've cooked for that. And I also handle the receptions for the funerals that they have at the church, so it's very rewarding. In fact, we just did one for a lady who had passed away of Hispanic descent, but they requested Italian food, believe it or not, and so they wanted pasta and meatballs, and they wanted chicken Alfredo with fettuccine, and that was for 180 people, and so we managed to pull it together. But again, as I said, it's very, very rewarding, and I enjoy cooking. Had nothing better to do since I've retired.
Well, I can't think of anything better for you to do
in
your retirement. Yeah. I imagine for all three of you, this work has made you particularly sensitive to poverty, to the poor people in our midst. That I think it's easy for any of us to look past them, you know, to have whatever biases might be ours when we run into them. But I mean, you Sam, see them virtually every day, don't you?
I do indeed. And you know, as our guests come in our doors, we welcome them into what we feel is a home. It's a place where a warm, loving meal is served by hands that have worked since the crack of dawn.
Thank you.
Preparing, and really, it's the truth. And as we see the guests come in, I tend to do everything possible to look beyond the dirty clothes, the funny alternative behavior, or whatever it may be, and not pass judgment, but look for the eyes of Christ in each individual as they walk in, and do my best to see our clients, our guests, as God would. And that's a struggle some days, and then other days it's a real gift that God gives us as these individuals come in need, and we see them in their vulnerability, in their vulnerable, very vulnerable state, and we're able to help. And it may feel like a simple meal, but the love that goes into that is very special. On the other side, I see the impression that our service and our clients leave on our volunteers and on the staff. And all of that makes for an incredibly rewarding service.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. We're going to have to take another short break, and we'll be back to continue our conversation about the Marion House.
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
We are back now, and this is our Thanksgiving show. We're featuring the wonderful work of the Marion House here in Colorado Springs, and linking that with Thanksgiving, because, as I said, I think one of the greatest ways we show our gratitude to God for the gifts that He has given us is by sharing those gifts, whether they are material gifts or the gift of just the time that God gives us in this world. And so it's a wonderful expression of gratitude and thanks to God. We have two new guests with us now for the last segments of this program. Paula and Joe, our volunteers, have gone on their way, and now we have two other volunteers who are here with Sam Edwards, who is vice president of the Poverty Reduction Department. And joining Sam and me now are Iris Lucas and Polly Munson. We have two men. We have two wonderful women with us now, also volunteers. Joe and Paul were Monday volunteers from their respective Catholic parishes, and Iris and Polly are both members of First Presbyterian Church right here in downtown Colorado Springs. And I did mention that although the Marion House is a work of Catholic Charities, is overseen by Catholic Charities, many of the volunteers that come are from other Christian churches, and Polly and Iris are two of them. So thank you. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I think First Pres Day is Tuesday. Our men were Monday volunteers, and you are Tuesday volunteers. Iris, what's your specialty at the dining room?
I crack the whip.
You give the orders?
I help plan the menus and make sure that the food is there for what we want to prepare, and then just kind of coordinate the work as it's done during the day.
So you really are kind of an overseer,
mm-hmm.
I think, of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this for a few years, haven't you?
14 years.
That's
yes.
great. That mm-hmm. is great. And you're happy to be doing it? You could see
I am. I don't miss it unless I'm out of town or flat on my back or something. I don't ever have an excuse not to be there.
Sounds like Paul and Joe. they said they would do anything to avoid missing their days. And Polly, what's your specialty there?
Well, I kind of work for Iris. Actually, usually when I come in, we're working on vegetables and salads, and I kind of supervise that, you know, find the materials, get them put together, and with the help of maybe another eight or so volunteers, we make these salads in big tubs, and we get that done somehow before 10:30.
What are your regular numbers from First Press for numbers of volunteers on Tuesday?
I would say between 25 and 30, depending on the time. Some come early, work for a while, and then leave, and some come later and then stay till the end. So that's about what it is.
Well, and those aren't all from First Presbyterian
No.
Church. They'll be. We have some regulars that actually don't go to our church that mm-hmm. kind of like our group and come on Tuesday.
They've been adopted into our group, and
yeah.
we know that we can depend on them because they know kind of what to do, and that makes it easier. You don't have to be on top of them every minute because they can do what they know needs to be done, and that's so helpful.
And then the Marion House will fill in with other volunteers that are there perhaps for community service, and we get to know them, too, mm-hmm. and enjoy working with them.
You know, I don't want to forget this before. Sometimes we run out of time, and I say I forgot to ask this question. So I want to turn to Sam. I've often had people say to me, "Oh, so this is the food or the soup kitchen for the homeless." And I say, "Well, some of them are homeless, but say a little something about the variety of the guests there, Sam. They are certainly not all homeless, right?"
No, indeed not. Many of the people that we serve lunch to every day are just trying to bridge a financial gap temporarily. When you look at our numbers, our statistics, towards the beginning of the month, when disability checks or Social Security checks come in, our numbers definitely dwindle down. But towards the 20th of the month and beyond that, our numbers grow immensely. So what we're doing is we're working with disabled, with the working poor, with people that just need a little bit of help for a time, and then we of course have the chronic homeless and the temporary homeless as well. What we've seen growing most recently is families, and that's a little tough. When the busyness in our family room is a sign of the need, and when we see that, I think it's received by a special calling within each of us. So that's one of the trends that we're witnessing now.
Mm-hmm. So one of the great things I think about, many of the great things about the Marion House is that you don't ask any questions. People don't have to in some way demonstrate or prove that they need the meal. If they show up, the meal is given to them, and that's regardless of their situation, certainly regardless of any religious kind of affiliation or no religious affiliation, because they're in need. Do you have any, and I know you don't, so we don't quiz them, but do you have any sense, say, about what percentage actually would be homeless as opposed to those who are just trying to sustain themselves and this one meal a day can help them do that?
That's a difficult statistic to come up with, just based on the fact that the definition of homeless, you know, if we're following HUD or if we're following local statistics, that's a little difficult. So there are always going to be people that are, you know, doing what we consider cowboy camping, that carry something on their back. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they lay down their backpack at night, they open it up, they pull out the bedroll, and they survive a night, and they pack it all up, and they come out. These are not represented in the individuals we saw down by the creeks last year or alongside the highway, by no means. These are people that choose to do that and do it under the radar. But then we also have people that are temporarily homeless. And when you think about the definition of homeless, are we visualizing the people that have lost their jobs, gone through a divorce, fallen on extremely hard times, and are living in their sibling's basement? Have they moved back home? Did they choose that? Are they truly homeless? There's a roof over their heads, but it's temporary. So they need our services to bridge a time period in their lives.
Well, no, and I know that there are many definitions of homeless, and sometimes you could be living in a home at the beginning of the week and living in your car at the end of the week simply because of some awful circumstances. I'm going to go back to Polly and Iris and ask them, as we did of Joe and Paul in the first part of the program, maybe to reflect on some of the experiences that they've had there that are particularly memorable, touching for them. I'm sure an awful lot of what you do is routine. You kind of do the same thing over, but I was wondering if maybe there were some moments that have stayed with you over these years.
I remember one time when we were making our salads. I think this might have been shortly before Polly joined our group, and all we had was lettuce. We had nothing else to go on the salad, and someone said, "Wouldn't it be great if we had some tomatoes to put in the salad?" Within 15 minutes, someone came to the door with a crate of tomatoes to donate, And we just looked at each other and said, God was paying attention.
So you didn't send out for them?
No. Just said, wouldn't it be nice if we had tomatoes? And there they were.
That happens all the time.
That happens often. Tell them a story about the fruit.
Well, we make a big fruit salad. I mean, four big tubs of fruit. And there have been times when we had only apples or oranges, mm-hmm. and nothing special. And you just sort of say, I wish something would show up. And sure enough, here comes a truckload of really nice cut-up fruit from someplace. And we just all sort of roll our eyes and say, God's plan. Yeah. The first time I worked at the soup kitchen, I was helping butter bread with a older gentleman who was volunteering there. And I was curious, and I said, where does all this bread come from? And he said, God provides. Mm-hmm. And he does.
Mm-hmm. Indeed he does. Any memorable clients, guests that you've met or had conversations with?
Well, I remember one individual who came for years as a client, and he finally got a job working at the Y, and that led to other things, and he no longer needs to come to the soup kitchen. So that's a success story, and it just shows how if we can give folks a hand up, a little crutch when they have a gap in there between what they need and what they actually have in their pocket, that it can really be a big help. And it was in his case.
And there are several people who have worked with us at the soup kitchen from time to time whose lives were, kind of tentative, but they would come in and they would volunteer, and then maybe they'd fall back into some bad habits again. And we see people come through the line we know. Mm-hmm. And touching.
Like neighbors or fellow parishioners?
More likely people who volunteered at the soup kitchen. And in one case, there was a daughter of a friend who came through. Those are touching moments.
Mm-hmm. We had one young man who lost his job when this recession first started. And he was a father of four. And he was hanging by a thread for months and months. And he said, I'm going to volunteer here every day as long as I can. And we began praying for him on a regular basis. And by golly, he got a job. And he came back and he said, I could not have survived without the soup kitchen and without this group, because you were my support system. And that's so important to know.
Iris, you said you said something that struck me. You decided to pray for this man. Was this all the volunteers from the First Press?
Before we open, we get in a big circle, we hold hands, and we ask for prayer requests, and we pray. For sometimes we're not only asking prayers for that day, that everything go well, that we can be a blessing to those people who come in, that we'll have enough food, but we also pray for the needs of our volunteers that we know about, because we have seen how helpful that is.
Well, I think that is beautiful. It's perfect, really, because prayer, really, among other things, is our expression of our dependence on God. We recognize that all of the good things that we're doing because God is allowing us to do that, and it really is all empowered and held up by prayer. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. I don't know if all of our volunteers do that, but Sam, if not, you should suggest that they start each day with a time of prayer.
I'm proud to say almost every group does, and unless they're running to the last second, it is a gathering time before, and positions are passed out. Definitely they're sharing on prayer concerns, and someone inevitably leads the prayer.
Oh, that's great. Another break here coming up, but we will be back with our last segment in just a moment.
ColoradoCatholicHerald.com is the website of the award-winning Colorado Catholic Herald newspaper. For the latest Catholic news, both at home and around the world, log on to ColoradoCatholicHerald.com. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. I'm here with Sam Edwards, who is the vice president of the Poverty Reduction Department at the Marion House, and with Polly and Iris, two wonderful volunteers at the soup kitchen, at the dining area of the Marion House. And well, Polly and Iris, tell our listeners how you first became involved with the Marion House.
I met a couple of friends at church who were involved, and I had only been in town, I think I had been here about a year, and they said, why don't you come on down and see what it's like at the Marion House? And I thought, well, okay, I'll give it one try, and now it's been 14 years. And that's how I came to volunteer. I fell in love with it. I realized it was where I needed to be, and that's where I've been.
How, I think you've touched on this already, Iris, but how has your work there at the Marion House, how has that deepened, affected your faith, your relationship with Christ?
Well, I think it's made me see that he cares about each and every one of these people, and he has provided this place for them. He means for them to be fed. And whatever the circumstances are of their need, they deserve to be fed. And it's deepened my faith because I've seen him support Marion House over and over again. We never run out of food. We never do.
Great. Polly, what about you?
When I first came down to the Marion House, I was recently retired from a regular job, and I was trying to make a decision. Now, with all this time on my hands, you know, how am I going to use this? And I really needed to give something back someplace. Now, I live about 25 miles outside of town, and so that played a big part in my decision. I wanted to do something that I could do in a nice big block of time. And so the Marion House, volunteering there was a good solution because we're there about 6 hours on each Tuesday. And so that's my day, that's my time to go in. And I, the same as Iris, I went in and I said, oh, well, I'll try this. I don't know if this is really my cup of tea. And, well, just came back the next Tuesday and kept coming back, and it's 9 years
so
for me.
So you were both hooked the first time around,
huh? Yeah, that's right. I remember it happened that first time that I was there. They put me on the serving line. And it just happened that day that we had prime rib because a restaurant had given us a whole bunch of prime rib. I think they had been closed down by the tax man, and they had to give us all their food. And we had prime rib, and I remember saying to the client, would you like some prime rib? Excuse me, what did you say? And I don't know, I just, it was an, you know, an intimate relationship with them. I like to see the people as they come through the line and say hello and call them by name if I can. And, well, how are you? And all that. I like it. Yeah.
And I wanted to make a comment about what I've learned through working down there. And one is a real sense of thankfulness that for everything that I have, and that I'm not in that situation. It's really, you know, a lesson I learn every week to be very, very grateful for what I have, to be thankful.
Well, we introduce this program as our Thanksgiving program. So I think there you've brought out the connection there, Polly, very well. Sam, I'm hoping, and maybe you're hoping too, that there might be some folks out there listening to this program who might want to become involved themselves in some way with the Marion House, how might they do that?
Well, first, I think with a basic understanding of what the Marion House does, I guess I'd like to kind of shed some light on that. First off, I think our volunteers, both teams of volunteers, Paul and Joe and Polly and Iris, have spoken about how the house that we're serving out of, the facility, is a very blessed place. And for some, it calls them to serve. And for others, it calls them to give. And to the many donors, I thank you. For those that are looking for a way to give to the programs and services, I want you to understand that it doesn't come cheap. It's, you know, we have a very small food budget. Our annual food budget is $24,000. And out of that, we serve 220,000 meals a year. At least that's what we're on track to serve with the statistics we're reading today. So we do quite a lot with very little. So we count on the community. We count on you as donors, as volunteers, as people that want to get involved. So what I want to tell you about what we do there is it's a little bit more than food. The food is a very basic need, but there are so many other basic needs that we serve there. When people leave the dining room, they can exit the building and come back tomorrow and know that each and every day, between the hours of 10:30 and 1 o'clock, that they can get a warm, nutritious meal. But if they want to engage in programs and if they have emergency needs, we have on site, we have programs that reach out and do incredible things that can be life-changing, and that's in our self-sufficiency building, which is called the Hannafin Center. And people can come over and receive emergency services, and those services often include just clothing items, hygiene items, help obtaining an ID. Think about where we would be without the vital statistics or the IDs, the birth certificates, and so forth. So for anyone who has old clothing that's still in good usable form, anyone who has dieted and gotten beyond their needs for their clothing or doesn't fit in clothing anymore, please think about giving those if they're still very serviceable, especially with the warm weather items that we're looking for. Oftentimes people come to us and they say, you know, I have a job if I can get a pair of work boots. And, you know, if we have work boots, it is really neat to be able to pass that on. So simple things like that, and I can't emphasize the importance of a pair of socks or underpants. Mm-hmm. Things we take for granted that we change and put on clean every morning are not accessible to many of our clients. You know, the diapers that are given out and the food and the formula and all the clothing that's donated through our life support program, it's really a unique blessing. We provide a safety net. So I ask you to look and enjoy your holidays. Absolutely enjoy your Thanksgiving and be thankful for what you have. But please look at ways throughout the year, beyond Thanksgiving and beyond Christmas and all the other times that we have to celebrate in our year. Think about the Marion House and the people that we are serving, please.
And I want to add on to that the diocese, the Catholic Diocese of Colorado Springs, has an annual appeal for a number of ministries and services that we provide. But a big chunk of that is to help subsidize the work of Catholic Charities, which includes, of course, the Marion House. So I certainly want to say that anybody out there, Catholic or not Catholic, having heard the testimonies of our volunteers and the words of Sam, that if you're inclined to help in any way, no matter how small, we'll happily accept donations for Returning God's Gifts right here at the Catholic Pastoral Center, 228 North Cascade, and we'll make sure that they get to the right place. And I'm glad, Sam, that you did talk a bit about the Hannafin Center, the self Sufficiency Center, because certainly those 600 plus meals that are served every day meet a very immediate and very important need. But those other services which kind of help people as much as you can to move out of that situation that they're in, to become more sufficient themselves, is a wonderful thing. Are visitors welcome to drop in at the— I'm saying that because, you know, we're asking people maybe to think about their involvement, and I can't think of a better way of initiating that than to say, stop by and see what goes on. What about that, Sam?
Absolutely. I invite anyone to come down and take a meal and interrupt our programs and ask for a quick tour and just kind of check out what we're doing and see what we're all about. I think, you know, when we talk about self-sufficiency, we are talking about a life-changing opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it does not happen overnight. It is not a simple thing to look at poverty and look for ways of reducing it. So we put, you know, we count on each other, and we put people in place. We put teams in place. We put programs in place, and we're constantly evolving to grow and meet the changing needs. And the what we do is we do everything we can to raise our capacity to serve.
Okay, and let our listeners know the hours of operation so that if they do want to drop by, they know the right time to come.
The kitchen opens Monday through Saturday and serves a meal from 10:30 until 1 o'clock. And on Sundays, we serve a breakfast, and it is outstanding. But we serve that from 8:45 until 10:15 every Sunday.
So in those hours, visitors would be welcome to come by and get a first-hand look of what goes on at least at the soup kitchen, at the dining room.
I ask that if you want a full tour, do that on a weekday and ask for me or one of the program directors to walk you through the building. That would provide the best opportunity to explore the building. If you want to come for a meal, do it any day you feel tickled to come on by.
And it's easy to find, right on the east side of the Bijou Street Bridge over I-25, right in the heart of downtown Colorado Springs. It's right there. We are running out of time, and I want to thank you, Sam. You've been with us throughout the hour and have given us some wonderful inspiration information, inspiring information about the Marion House. And thanks to Iris and Polly for being here, talking about your experiences as volunteers there. And so as we come to a close now, allow me to just offer a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time when we are called to give thanks in a very special way, we do that. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you've given to us individually, to our families, and to our community. And we thank you in a special way for the blessing that is the Marion House. We are so proud to be able to follow the example of your son, Jesus, who spent his time on this earth loving and caring for the poor, needy, in such a very special way. Those who were often cast out by so many others. So we thank you especially for the gift of the Marion House and the gift of so many, many volunteers and donors who make the work of the Marion House a reality 365 days a year, providing for the needs of so many. And I conclude by asking Almighty God to bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, and happy Thanksgiving.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith.
Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.